Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Flyer Buzz here on Flyers Radio 24/7. Brian Smith and Bill Meltzer here with you as the Flyers continue through this month of February. The trade deadline is approaching, some big games approaching for this team as well, and a new wrinkle in the personnel situation for the Flyers as we touch on this last run here, Bill. These four wins in a row interrupted by a shootout loss to the New Jersey Devils, and you know, again, the Flyers at the beginning of the season were struggling with consistency. They seem to have that back under control, except just a little bit of a lull there, but they had a really good run, four losses in a row, then four wins, and now this shootout point against the Devils on Tuesday night, and you know, nothing there that would necessarily make you think anything is going to be alarming. A very tired bunch coming back from all this travel, but what have you seen from the team in these last four or five games that that gives you cause for concern or cause for optimism?
It's shown all season that after there's a setback, they tend to bounce back quickly, even if it's a pretty disappointing outcome like it was last night. I mean, Flyers had a regulation win in hand, a 5-point gap in the standings, and then they didn't take care of it ultimately. That's definitely disappointing. But even last night, you can look at the game. They played a strong first period overall. I mean, the second period was more wide open than either side would have wanted. You know, the third period was actually the Flyers defended pretty well. You know, where there were opportunities to put a stranglehold on the game, and you go into the third period leading only by one. So a situation where a bounce of a puck late in the game could end up taking it to overtime and ultimately the shootout. I think that you look back to the win in Vegas. That was the Flyers got outstanding goaltending in that game. But more than that, they defended well with the lead. I mean, I think that the Flyers are doing the things overall they need to do to get points. But there's a tad of breathing room. I mean, last night cut the gap to 2 points. In control of their fate, they're still in third place in the Metro. They're still within striking distance of Pittsburgh, so it wasn't a disastrous setback. They still got a point out of the game, but they have to take care of business in Columbus on Friday. And as we said last time, the thing this time of year is that the outlook can change very quickly based on what you did, the last game and then how your next game shapes up. So they have an opportunity to just put a little bump on the road behind them. They have to do that on Friday.
Going to go into a place on Friday where, for whatever reason, the Flyers have not had that much luck in recent years in Columbus, but that's been turning around a little bit as of late. And when you look at the Blue Jackets, they're a situation where they are one of those teams that's right on the bubble right now in the Metro. Flyers aren't too far from the bubble, but you talked about how close it is. You got Columbus, Carolina, the Islanders, even the Rangers all still in there with 1 or 2 points separating all these teams, and they're the quintessential four-point games coming up this weekend.
Divisional games are critical, and I said the outlook changes very quickly based on the outcomes. The Flyers have picked up points. They've had a lot of overtime losses in Columbus, but you have to go all the way back to Robert Esch was the last Flyers goalie to win a game in Columbus. I think it was December of 2005. So it's been a while since the Flyers went in there and won a game. I mean, they have to, they have to put an end to that quickly,
And then when you take the New York Rangers, it was interesting. We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks about how they are openly going to be in sell mode, but Wayne Simmonds talking with the writers yesterday made a real good point that there are no giveaway games in this league. Doesn't matter if you're in sell mode or if you're a 13-win Arizona Coyotes team or what you are. Every game in this league is tough, and the Flyers, as we said in the last episode, still have 3 games left against this Rangers team, one of which is coming up this weekend, and it's a team that's probably still out there playing for pride and showing they got stuff to prove.
100%, and I mean, there are players, and maybe if the Rangers are in sell mode, I mean, you end up this time of year, players play for a lot of different motivations. There are some guys who are probably a little ticked off. That's motivation. There are guys who are playing for jobs, who will be prospective free agents this summer. They have reason to play. There are guys who might be moving on somewhere and might be playing a stretch drive for somebody, but whatever the reasons, there are no easy games anymore. There are very few clubs that you play, well, really no clubs that you play, but very few nights where, you know, where the outcome is an easy one, where it's decided, you know, early on. So, I mean, the Flyers have to come out ready to work the way that they have done. And, you know, there are no gimme games. It really doesn't matter where the opponent is in the standings. Like, we saw the game in Arizona. I mean, the Flyers were very fortunate to come away with 2 points from those games. You know, they took care of business ultimately, but it was far from easy.
So looking at the news that came out with the Flyers on Tuesday before the game is that Brian Elliott will be out 5 to 6 weeks after he had to go undergo surgery to correct a core muscle issue. And we were talking about this whole situation as it was at the time in the last episode of our podcast that Elliott had missed some time. He'd come back, but, you know, it was kind of an open wonder. Is whatever this is going to be okay, or is it something he might re-injure? And as it turned out, it was one of those things where a team looks at a player and they realize, okay, whatever this is was going to require surgery at some point. Can he make it through the season before that's done and do it in the off season, or what? And it looks like they tried that route, and unfortunately whatever it was flared up on him in that shootout. And now we have that taken care of. The good news is could be back in time for the end of the regular season, as it turns out. So but it's going to be kind of interesting to see what the Flyers do over this next period of time here. Alex Lyon is with the club now, and as things stand right now, would stay here as the second goaltender. Would somebody else come in? They look at Dustin Tokarski, who's got some NHL experience. A lot of interesting things coming up, I think, with the goaltending situation.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, Ron Hextall didn't mince any words last night where he said that a whole bunch of different possibilities are on the table. You know, it really, it's a fluid kind of thing. I think the Flyers absolutely have to look at what's on the trade market simply because Alex Lyon only has 2 games of NHL experience, kind of struggled in those 2 games. However, there's a goalie that can step up for you. You know, he was outstanding in the game in Vegas, kind of an up and down game against the Devils last night. There was one goal in particular would have liked to have had back, but you know, Neuberth is a guy who at times has played at a very high level. Tokarski, when the Flyers got Tokarski early this season, you know, it gave them a kind of a veteran option for a call up. As you said, he has some NHL experience, including playoff experience. He had 5 games of playoff experience with Montreal, and you know, didn't do too badly. Last night he had a very good game for the Phantoms. He had a 40 save shutout rather. So, you know, I mean, he's a guy who can come in and give you a spot start here, there, maybe a couple of starts if you need that. I mean, that option's on the table. You know, I think that you look at what's in the trade market. If teams know you're looking for a goalie, the prices go up. I mean, even for a goalie who you wouldn't necessarily, you know, expend an asset that. If an injury were, you know, an injury situation weren't going on, you wouldn't even think of. I think they have to consider all possibilities. There aren't a ton of back-to-backs coming up. There's a lot of every other day. You know, I think it could still go any number of ways before the trading deadline.
And then one final note about the team in its current stance is that, we were watching some aspects of the game last night against New Jersey, and it was a good night for the penalty kill, and it's been a decent couple of games for the penalty kill, although it hasn't had to be used too much. If this is something to come, if the Flyers can turn around this penalty kill, which has been in the bottom three of the league all season long, that's the one stat that, you know, when I look at it, it doesn't matter what the Flyers did on the penalty kill in October and November. If they figure it out now, and all of a sudden that penalty kill is, decides to run 85-90% over the last 2 months of the season, that's all that matters. And that could, I think, drastically change this team's outlook going down the stretch.
Absolutely. You know, and we can even look a couple of years ago when the Flyers got into the playoffs, took Washington 6 games. Now they had penalty killing problems in that series with Washington in the first 3 games of that series. But leading up to that, down the stretch drive, You know, the Flyers penalty kill actually was pretty good the last 2 months of that season. You know, if you can correct that for a run of time in these crucial games where you're expecting a lot of one goal games anyway, you know, like you said, the season numbers don't matter. You have to have it running at the right time. I mean, it's there have been some encouraging signs. Like you said, there haven't been a ton of penalties to have to kill. I mean, that's always a positive. But, you know, I think that they need to fall in a rhythm and stay in a rhythm with the penalty kill. And also the flip side of that too, an area where the Flyers absolutely have to clean up is they've given up way too many shorthanded goals. They're, you know, 9 is second in the league, tied for second in the league. You know, that's another thing that an ill-timed shorthanded goal against can, you know, that's the flip side of the Flyers' strong power play numbers. And I think that maybe even played into it a little bit in the third period last night. I thought the Flyers played that final power play very conservatively, just so as to, you know, not kill 2 minutes off the clock. They were looking to attack, but at the same time, I do think it's a little bit in the back of your mind. You don't want to give up a 2-on-1. You don't want to give any breakaways. You know, and that can easily happen sometimes when you're attacking. I think that, I think that a little bit of power play consistency, and it's been running hot lately, but you want to get both units going. So there's any number of areas where their five have been pretty good. So,
and you mentioned one thing there, made me think of one other thing that we noticed last night in the past few games is that the Flyers are quickly becoming a deeper team on the power play. With the advent of the second unit, and it's really another wrinkle in the youth movement. You're watching the power play last night, and the second unit is Travis Konecny, Nolan Patrick, and Ivan Provorov, and all sitting there as big threats with a couple of veterans playing along with them. You know, that could also be a big boost.
Absolutely, Patrick's confidence continues to grow. You know, he has a very good shot. We've seen it at times this season, but I think he's barely scratched the surface of what a good shooter he actually is. You know, obviously Travis Konecny is playing with a ton of confidence right now. If you can get that second unit going a little bit, even contributing periodically, because, you know, there will be nights where the first unit just isn't able to get it done. If you get some supplementary help from the second unit, again, with so many close games to play, I hate to keep going back to that, but most nights are going to be one goal or one goal plus an empty net. That one crucial play that you make, even if it's a little self-created good luck, a bounce in front or whatever, you know, I believe in hockey, although there certainly is an element of puck luck. I also believe that a lot of it is largely self-made. I think if you're doing the right things, eventually you get the bounces. And, you know, I think that there are signs of it moving in the right direction. That has to continue.
So moving on to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, they have been steamrolling people lately. They've been winning games, and they've been winning them with a lot of goals. We touched on the team's health in the last episode, that they have finally gotten more or less healthy with the exceptions of Sam Moran and maybe one or two other minor things. But this team appears to be operating on all cylinders, and I guess the next step is to figure out how to be operating on all cylinders 2 months from now when the AHL's playoff season gets here, a week after the NHL starts, because it's not easy to maintain for a long period of time and then still do it in the playoffs. But they're showing signs of another playoff run, maybe a deeper one this year.
Absolutely. You know, and then last year against Hershey could have gone either way. You know, unfortunately, that first round series, that five gamer is a tricky one. But I think that there's a lot of depth in that Phantoms lineup, and they have a good mixture of veterans and youth as well. You know, Tokarski had a big game last night. One guy who I don't think is getting a lot of mention. I mean, we talk a lot about the Travis Sanheims and the Philippe Myers and the Oscar Lindbloms, but in his second season this year, Nicholas Aubé-Kubel has really come on a long way from his rookie season. There's a guy who's shown a lot of development this season, and he's producing a ton at 5-on-5. Last night he had 3 assists, all primaries in the second period, and he's just been playing very confident hockey with a lot of speed and a lot of awareness. I mean, a lot more consistency than he ever showed last year. And he's just one guy in that lineup. But I think if you look up and down the lineup, the Phantoms have a deep roster, and they seem to be built to be a team that potentially could go a long way in the Calder Cup playoffs.
And you can't lose sight of the fact that this is a team that last year had, what, I don't know, two or three guys with playoff experience on it. Now you've got a team where everybody does. So it's that's not to be overlooked either. The experience that they got from the, albeit short, playoff run last year, just knowing that little extra about what it takes and, the excitement of going into the playoffs for the first time. You don't have that to deal with going in for the second time. You're a little more down to earth and a little more focused on what it takes to get through that first round and move on.
Absolutely. And listen, the Phantoms also had a lot of bad luck last year, because if you remember, both goaltenders got hurt. And, no offense to Ouellette, who came up from Reading and did a pretty good job, actually. But that really hurt to lose both Stolarz and Lyon for the playoffs. But, it wasn't just that. I do think that inexperience came into play to some degree. Some of the younger players, the shift in and shift out of intensity of the playoffs, and I don't care whether it's the Calder Cup playoffs or the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's a whole other level you have to lift your game to, and I think guys will be better prepared for that this time.
So looking at the prospect pool beyond the Phantoms down in the junior leagues, and the NCAA is now rolling toward their playoff season that will start with conference tournaments here before too long. A lot of eyes on the Olympics, too, with a lot of college players in there. No Flyers connections necessarily, but what's going on with the Flyers world down at that level?
Well, I think that, Carter Hart, we always keep coming back to Carter Hart and Morgan Frost, but Carter Hart, he just tied the WHL's all-time shutout record. And I think, I knew the Western League was a high-scoring league, like compared to the Ontario League. If you look at that Western League scoring numbers, where you have Ontario League, if he was playing in the Western League with those same numbers, I believe he'd be sixth or seventh in the league in scoring. And they have something like 18 guys who have at least 70 points already. It's a high scoring league. And if you look at the goalie numbers, hard save percentage is 952 or 953. And then you look at the next highest save percentage of a goalie who's played at least about 17, 18 games, and it drops all the way to about 918. I mean, that's how dominant he's been in a very high scoring league. He's a very exciting prospect. Most likely be with the Phantoms next year, but he just keeps getting the job done. And Morgan Frost didn't have his best game last time out for the Greyhounds. Really, none of them did. They were at the end of a long road trip. They didn't have their legs, and they kind of got it handed to them by the Hamilton Bulldogs. And incidentally, Matthew Strom, another Flyers prospect, had a terrific game in that game. Goal and two assists. Could have actually had more in that game. I mean, he's one of three Flyers prospects, along with Frost and Isaac Ratcliffe in the Ontario League, who already have all those guys are up there towards the top of the league. So, as we've talked about the depth of the system, it's not just the Frosts and the Harts. A lot of guys are getting it done, and Ratcliffe and Strom being two prime examples. And just to wrap up in the collegiate ranks, although Tanner Leshinsky didn't have his best weekend last weekend, he's another guy who's had a tremendous collegiate year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's a pro next year.
One thing I know you touched on yesterday during the goalie discussion after the news came out on Elliott is if the Flyers were to make a trade, one thing they're definitely looking at is not just this year, but one or two years down the road, and specifically at Carter Hart, because they already have both Michael Neuvirth and Brian Elliott under contract for next season. And if they, I believe that they probably did that last year based on the notion, Carter Hart might be ready to come up to the NHL at the start of the 19-20 season based on him coming out after this year, playing next year with the Phantoms. But you kind of touched on it that the Flyers got to at least leave open the option that this kid comes out of the Western Hockey League and blows the doors off of people in NHL training camp and forces his way on the team. That's not out of the realm of possibility. So that is a consideration the Flyers have to look at if they decide to bring in another veteran goaltender here before the trade deadline.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a situation where, you know, if the Flyers were to trade at other positions, they might look for a little bit of term, particularly with the forward, if they go in that direction. But with a goaltender, I think an expiring contract would be more desirable. So, you know, that definitely is another consideration. Basically, since the salary cap was put in place, that the Flyers don't have to worry about, you know, necessarily fitting someone under the cap. They're okay with that. But I do think that term plays into it. And, I mean, there are some serviceable goalies on the market. I mean, you can see the names out there, you know, two of whom were goalies that Ron Hextall picked for the World Championships last year for Team Canada. So, you know, would he go in that direction? There's a bit of familiarity, but there's other possibilities out there as well. You know, I do think they would want someone with a bit of experience, you know, almost like a platoon kind of situation, or step in and a spot start. I mean, I think all those kind of things are on the table, but I think ideally, as you said, I think they would prefer someone who, you know, isn't going to stand in the way of a young player who's developing. And Carter Hart certainly could be a guy who comes along quickly.
So one big event coming up this weekend with the Flyers alumni. They're headed way north to Portland, Maine, and a exhibition game with the Boston Bruins alumni. And this is all centering around the new ECHL team that Comcast Spectacor has purchased and will place in Portland next year to play in the Cross Insurance Center. There's two. There's an arena and a center.
Yeah, it's a Cross Insurance Arena.
I can't keep them straight.
Cumberland County Civic Center.
There's a Cross Insurance Center also in Maine, in another town in Maine. But
what's a center? What's an arena? Yeah, I know.
And we run both of them, so
yeah, exactly.
It can be a little little. It's in Bangor. That's right. But yeah, there's a lot going on there, and apparently that team will announce its head coach, and should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a great time. It always is. Eric Lindros is going to be there. Danny Briere will be there. They've infused a lot of players who'll be familiar to the fans in Portland. A lot of guys who were part of the Maine Mariners, you know, the original Maine Mariners, mm-hmm. will be there. You know, for example, Terry Murray, who was an AHL All-Star defenseman, worked his way up eventually to the Flyers as a player. You know, before his long and successful coaching career. But there's a guy who, you know, who they know very well. Lenny Hackbourne was a big goal scorer in the American League. Actually, a pretty good offensive player in the NHL. Well, maybe wasn't Keenan's favorite player, but you know, he was a guy that had offensive talent. He was a fan favorite of Mariners fans, and also a fan favorite in Philadelphia during his time. He lives in Maine, so they're, you know, they've done a nice job infusing some very familiar names. Steve Sugiura, you know, was originally a Flyers pick, played with Maine, actually played for Maine both with the Flyers and Bruins system. Kenny Linsman is going to be playing, although he'll be playing on the Bruins side. Joey Mullen, Hockey Hall of Famer, of course, longtime Flyers power play coach. He'll be there on the Bruins side. Rick Middleton. So it'll be a great time.
Well, we look forward to hearing the stories about it and things like that after the fact. But nice to see the alumni getting out there and doing some of these events to bring in interest to places like this. So Portland's been a great hockey town for years and years and years, and was really kind of unfortunate due to the economics of minor league hockey that they did lose their team there briefly. But they'll be back next year as an ECHL city. So, Bill, just looking ahead here, again, some key games coming up for the Flyers. The trade deadline is approaching. What's got you the most excited here between now and the end of February?
I think that there's a really good opportunity, you know, to maybe put a little bit of distance between themselves and some other teams in the standing. You know, head-to-head games are, as you said, they're up. There's much as a 4-point swing in the standings. You know, last night being case in point, where the Flyers won in regulation, they'd have been up 5 on the Devils. Had the Devils won in regulation, then the Flyers would have only been up 1, right? So you have these opportunities where, particularly when you're ahead or you have games in hand, you really control your own fate. If the Flyers take care of business here, they can really set themselves up well for the month of March. So, you know, at case scenario, the Flyers can put themselves in a position where they don't have to come down to the final weekend in April and play to get into the playoffs there. I mean, maybe they'd be playing for home ice. Who knows? You know, maybe even playing for first place if You know, if Washington struggles and the Flyers go on another run, I mean, it's all out there for them right now. There's so much parity in the Metro Division. I think if you look in the East in general, you know, you would put you would put Tampa Bay at a class above everybody else, but the rest is kind of up there for grabs. I mean, I think that's how the matchups play out, how the Flyers play between now and then. So, you know, there's a big opportunity coming up in the next few weeks to set themselves up well for the stretch drive and hopefully to do something in the playoffs. I mean, that'll be exciting to watch unfold.
All right, Bill. Well, it's been a good episode here. We'll have to do this again as we get closer to the deadline, see what the Flyers have thought up by then, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and I'm sure the final hours before the deadline, that's always pretty nerve-wracking.
All right. Thanks again for joining us, everyone, for this edition of Flyer Buzz. We'll have another one coming up for you in about a week's time. But in the meantime, make sure you check us out here at Flyers Radio 24/7 throughout the next week and throughout the rest of the season as we bring you all the latest on the Flyers. Of course, the games are here. We've got replays of the games. We've got highlights. We've got all sorts of stuff here for you. Phantoms updates and a new broadcasters roundtable is in the works as well. So that is all in the cards here for us here at Flyers Radio 24/7. So make sure you check back with us and follow us on Twitter @Flyers Radio 24/7 for the latest programming updates. Have a great day, everybody.